Hey, Tasty the Buzz.
Good morning, everybody.
Your Tasty Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Mike Phillips.
I thought I was Spence.
No, you're not. Spence is actually in New York, and Jim flew somewhere. I hope his arm's not hurt.
So you're slumming it today.
So I'm slumming it. We are lucky that you put yourself. I mean, normally you would just be on a laptop.
I aming. Yes. And Amnon saying, Spence, pay attention. Quit I aming with Mike.
Our producer, screener, and weather person this morning is Shannon.
Good morning. I don't know where that came from.
Coffee? Do you have coffee yet?
Yeah.
You're kind of slow.
I've started.
Oh, okay. That's why.
But I haven't finished yet, so that's probably why I'm still
you
a little
want me
bit
to give slow. You another minute?
Yeah, probably another hour. probably by the end of your show, I'll be ready.
You'll be fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll be good to go. Yes. But until then, I'll just do weather. How's that?
That's fine.
Okay, that works for me. Well, today's going to be mostly sunny, with highs in the lower 90s. As far as for tomorrow, it's going to be mostly sunny also, this time with an isolated shower or thunderstorm in the afternoon for tomorrow. So if you go out, make sure you take a jacket and an umbrella, because it might be a bit nippy because it's going to be 95.
It's going to be 95.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
But compared to the weather that we've had just last week, 95 is going to be rather cool.
It's cool.
Yeah. And the weather was brought to you by Grand Villas Indian Beach, oceanfront condominiums from the 600s. Find your horizon at gvcondos.com or call 877-845-4438.
Thank you very much, sir.
No problem.
Our numbers, 860-0850, star at 50 and pound 50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. And this morning's show is brought to you by Warp Computers. In the market for a new computer, for the home, or for your office, visit Warp Computers at 2822 Capitol Boulevard. Warp Computers, your number one source for service and computer sales in the Triangle. Call them at 872-1156. So, does it feel funny being in front of a mic now instead of in front of the... And you dress, too.
Have clothes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I used to do this for a long time. I was in the business for 22 years, and I'm only about 10 years older than that, so.
So you used to do...
Yeah, we used to be in the radio business. My family had a radio station for years, so. Been there, done that.
No, that's fine.
Like then, like now, I don't really know what I'm talking about, but as long as no one realizes that, it's okay.
You know that black thing on the mic?
Yeah, it's called a windscreen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes it all believable.
That's
on
right.
The other
that's,
side.
That's the filter.
Yeah.
Got it. Been there, done that.
Anyway, did you get your iPhone yet?
I left it at home.
Oh, jeez.
I meant to bring it. I brought my GPS. It started working once I got into the lobby.
Mike was standing downstairs with the thing at the door, and then comes. Oh, it just started working. The transmitter is in the building. You know, the transmitter for the global GPS is right in here.
Well, I was wondering if somebody had turned the grid off overnight, maybe for maintenance or to save on power or global warming or something. But apparently it was not the case. The battery actually ran down. My charger went bad. My car charger went bad. So apparently the battery, when it went down, it did not reset properly. And eventually I turned it off, turned it back on. I couldn't find anything to match the reset button because the hole's too small. So I was looking for a paperclip part of the time. I was sitting in a car and never found one. So I turned it off, turned it back on. It started working. So what does that have to do with an iPhone? Absolutely nothing.
No, I mean, it's the same kind of.
Yeah. I have a Trio 700.
Actually, this is fine. I mean, a GPS is nice to have.
Well, does an iPhone have a GPS?
What if the iPhone has
no, does it?
I don't think so, no.
I don't think so either.
They should have.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard mixed reports on the iPhone.
It seems like they are selling more than what I thought they would. but I still don't see how this thing is going to be the next iPod.
They didn't sell out the first run, though, did they? Weren't, I mean, I there were 10,000 of them on eBay the next day, starting at big numbers and ending up at small numbers. I mean, I looked out of curiosity, and they're probably, but for eBay, would not have been that big rush on them that day. A lot of the people standing there were buying them to sell them on eBay.
Yeah, who had that story that some girl wanted to be first in line and she paid somebody $600 to be up front, and he let her, and by the time he got in, he just walked to the counter and said, "Can I have one?" I said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
But people wanted to be first in line.
Yeah, it's kind of like the last Harry Potter book. People lined up, getting cards, getting in line, and then after everyone else left, they go to the...
But they don't pay $600.
No, but they got in line to buy the book.
All right, now, I've got a question. I mean, because I never get to ask you when you're on IM.
You do. You ask Vince to ask me questions.
Yeah, well, sometimes.
And I always answer them.
But the new computers, the latest stuff, how are you keeping up with the
quad core?
Dual core quad? I can't remember.
Well, quad is four and dual is two.
Right, but they have dual core quad?
I don't think so.
Or something like this.
There's dual core and quad core and dual core two.
I can't remember. It was a weird word that we were using that came up. But anyway, yesterday, I have a customer that does AutoCAD, and she said that she wanted a dual core. So I was talking to the distributor, and Brian was saying, "I mean, you know, she got a quote from Dell, and it was a dual core Xeon."
Oh, that's a nice one.
Well, he was saying that a quad Pentium 4 will beat that. You know?
No, I don't know, but I do know that the application, it's going to depend on the application. They should be asking that question of Autodesk instead of Brian. Brian could be right. He has a lot of experience if we're talking about the same Brian. Mm-hmm. But the application has to be Xeon aware. You can't just put an application on Xeon and all of a sudden it's going to be better. It has to be Xeon aware. So if AutoCAD is written to take advantage of the Xeon processor, then I installed a Xeon server, and it's an amazing thing to watch this work.
And which operating system? Windows?
Windows Server. So I think it's 2003. I'm not sure.
So it's aware.
Yeah, absolutely. No question, and it screams. I mean, I've thought a couple of times about buying one for my home machine.
I never done anything with Xeon, so I have no experience with
it's
them at all.
Xeon. It's an amazing thing. So, is a quad faster than a Xeon? I don't know. This particular server that I'm aware of, I can log into it from home, and even remotely, it's fast. It's nothing like you're used to with PC Anywhere, Real VNC, terminal services. This thing just screams. It does well.
What are you using at home now? I mean, what processor?
You really want to know?
I mean, I'm probably like me. I mean, I'm, what is it? Celeron 2.4, I think. You know, I mean, because I don't do any graphic stuff.
Well, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 computers in my bedroom, and I have 2 in my daughter's bedroom, which is the server room, and then I have 2 laptops in the living room. So my main computer, if you send me an email, the main computer is a Pentium 3 mm-hmm. with half a gig of RAM operating Windows 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Works well. Of course, it's very finely tuned. My main work computer during the day is a Pentium M 2. Something gigahertz Screamer 3K $3,000 Dell laptop. And You would think between the two, you would think that once you stop using one and start using the other one, you'd say, wow, how can I put up with this speed? I don't notice that much difference. On the other side of my desk where I do my audio and video editing, I've got Pentium 4, 2.5 gigahertz with 2 gig of RAM, IBM, True Blue IBM 8311 computers.
And they do what they're supposed to
do. They do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
My brother just bought a Dell Quad, and he says it's fast, but he's not calling me bragging about how fast his computer is. I think we're hitting some sort of an asymptotic limit. I don't think there's a linear improvement in the speeds that we're going to see in computers going forward, and I think that's going to present a problem for the industry. I mean, why should you go spend an extra couple of grand?
I know.
Whenever after, and I don't know how you are, but when I first got my 286 computer, I'm sitting there not believing how fast this thing is. Same with the 386. The 486, not quite as much of an impression. The Pentium 1, yeah, okay. And beyond that, you just don't go from one computer to a screamer.
You don't. We'll talk about it some more when we come back. And we'll take your calls right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. Free calls. And we have Mike Phillips in the studio with us. We're talking computers, but you can call in and ask questions.
And
here's
iPhones.
Your chance.
And iPhones.
And iPhones. Well, no, I can't talk about iPhone. I don't know much about it. I don't think much about it, but I don't know much about it.
Yeah. I'd love to know what people are doing with Vista.
Probably not much. Let me tell you something. It's amazing how many people call and ask if they can still buy XP. So I got a new computer and it has Vista. Can I install XP on it? I haven't played with it much. I mean, I played with it here when Jim had it on his machine. But I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, I have several thoughts. One is, why would anyone? I mean, I understand that it's being installed by default on new machines. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. My question is, why would anyone stand in line to get it to upgrade to it? I mean, I want to know what it will do for me now that I cannot now do with XP. By the way, have you started using XP yet, Amnon?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
What, last year or so? I mean, let's be honest.
Not too long ago.
You're not exactly an early adopter.
No, I don't.
No, I don't either.
Huh.
I don't either. XP was almost at Service Pack 2 before I would
touch it. Yeah, I mean, it was after Service
Pack 2. And in retrospect, I don't think that was a bad decision. In fact, if I had waited until Service Pack 2, I wouldn't have had to rebuild about 10 machines that were trashed when Service Pack 2 came along and would cause the cut and paste in Outlook Express to disappear.
I tell you what I think. It's just like cars. Some people want to have the new model of the car that this year and next year they're going to. And some people just still driving 80s or 70s, and it works and it goes and there's nothing wrong with it. And there is no reason to jump and go into something else when yours is working. Why upgrade? I never had any. The only reason I went to XP. It's not because 98 or 2000 stopped doing what they're supposed to, but it's because a lot of people were asking me questions about XP, and I figured, okay, I need to know, I need to get into it so I know.
Well, I understand the incentive for Microsoft releasing it. I'm just trying to put myself in their position, and I want to look someone straight in the eye and give them good reasons why they should upgrade. And I understand that there are some multimedia advantages.
And how many people do that?
I think you might be surprised. I think YouTube has changed a lot of that. I think.
And you can do the same. I mean, do you have a problem with YouTube on 2000? Do you have a problem with YouTube on XP?
Yeah, well, my 2000 installations are all the slower computers, so I don't know. I don't do video on my 2000 machine.
Well, you'll be surprised.
I have, but YouTube is not exactly a high bandwidth requirement
either. Exactly.
But I think that, like anything else, that it gets people involved in doing video editing in their home videos.
So you're saying that they may get into it now that they say, I wonder if I can do this, and they get into it.
I think the video is there. I mean, there's no question in my mind that video is very explosive right now because I've been doing audio for years and years and years and years and consider myself somewhat of an expert in digital audio and analog audio, whatever that's worth now. And the transition to video was very difficult. It had some parameters and some settings and things that I'm not sure I understand them all. And for heaven's sakes, trying to author a DVD without some sweet tools that do a lot of the background stuff for you, I still get lost. I'm not so sure I know how to make a manual menu right now anyway, but I get it done using some tools. But video is very different. And if Vista is in fact simplifying some of that and making it more idiot-proof, then maybe there is some benefit there. And I don't know the answer to the – it's not a trick question. I don't know the answer to the question. But I am concerned that there are going to be businesses out there that are going to upgrade to, if that's the right word, Vista, and they're going to have these classes and learning curves and problems and – I don't see it from a business perspective. If somebody asked me right now, I'd say stick with XP because 2000 is still working for me. Now, when Microsoft drops support for 2000 like they did for 98, I'm probably going to get away from 2000 because there is benefit to the Windows update and those sorts of things. But
if it's a computer that's in the office, not on the network, you can keep on using 2000 with the applications you're using for years.
Yeah, but how many computers is that?
I understand.
Yeah.
Let's go talk with Russell. Morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Well, I've got a problem I hope you guys can help me with. I recently had to reinstall Windows XP. It's the 2005 Media Edition. And it came, when I bought it, it came with three CDs. Two, I guess, Microsoft CDs, and then one, what I thought was the Service Pack 2, but it's not. Anyway, in the process of installing it, I get the initial disk in, get to that point, it asks for the second disk, put that in, and then when it gets to the Service Pack, it asks for a Service Pack disk, which I put the third CD in, it doesn't recognize it, so I hit cancel, get the, operating system installed, and there's no Internet Explorer. It's like very stripped down, basic. So I'm just at a loss. I really don't know what to do. I don't have the Internet to track down the answers. So hoping you guys can help me.
That's interesting.
Are these actual Microsoft CDs or manufacturer CDs?
As far as I know, it's Microsoft OEM. I bought it from, I don't know if I can say it on the air, but it's Tiger Direct. It's the Windows Media Center 2005. Got
It came in a Microsoft box.
Exactly.
It didn't come with the computer.
With the key and everything?
No, I bought it brand new.
Okay.
It's got the key with it and everything.
Okay.
But again, I don't know if I can just download the Service Pack 2 onto a regular CD, burn that, and then when it asks me for that, throw that in.
I would definitely try that and recognize it when
it in. Does it need to be bootable?
You can download.
No, it does not need to be bootable because whenever it's asking for the disk, it's trying to read the drive. It does not need to boot to the drive.
Okay. That's what I need. One of the questions I had.
But that does seem unusual, I think, for it to ask for a Service Pack disk. I've never installed Media Center Edition. Theoretically, I mean, even now, whenever I rebuild an XP machine, that the original version, like the image version on the hard drive, is Service Pack 1, you can get Service Pack up and working and then do the update online. So that seems a little unusual.
They don't know about Service Pack 2 yet.
Well, that's what I was – it's a 2005 disk. Was Service Pack out then, 2?
I don't know about Media Center.
I can't remember.
But the bottom line is that when did you buy this?
I would say roughly about a year ago.
Oh.
I've installed it once, and I got past it, but unfortunately I didn't write it down. I can't remember how I did it. But I got past it before, and I know I had a copy of the Service Pack 2 sent to me from Microsoft, like an actual disk, but I can't find that, so that's what I was wondering, if I could just download it from a certain website, put it on a disk, and throw it in there.
If you bought these disks a year ago, it would be particularly unusual for it not to be the Service Pack at that point.
Yeah, but it with Tiger Direct, sometimes they sell stuff that's a little bit older.
$39.
Yeah.
Well, this was $100, so that's why I got it. It was something I could afford.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap because I think at that time XP was like $200, $199 retail, discounted retail.
And I've never seen it where it was two discs before either. So like I said, I installed the first two, and then it asked me for the service pack. And even trying to browse through that, basic.
Did it ask you for service pack 2 or for service pack?
Service pack 2 disc.
Very specific. It's specific, okay.
Yeah.
Something strange here because all of my XP discs are one disc as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But like I said, I had a problem with my office, and something corrupted, so I just figured I've installed operating systems many times, so it's not a big deal, but again, I ran into this issue, and I know I'd gotten past it because I'd installed it before with those disks, but I just couldn't remember how I got past it, so.
Are you using the computer yet, or are you stuck?
No, it gets to the, it installs, but like I say, it doesn't have, there's an icon that says Internet Explorer, but it's not the E. It's just like a piece of paper icon.
Oh, before
something disappears, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what was there. And then I click on that, and it says it doesn't recognize it. Would you like to remove it from the list? So I do that. It removes it from the list. I mean, there's nothing.
Yeah, you're not getting the operating system completely installed.
Yeah, exactly. That's my issue.
I don't know
why Service Pack would have anything to do with that.
How many times have you tried installing it?
About three.
And did you completely delete the partition and reformat in between?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, I sure did. I had to wait for that slow process.
You might want to talk with Tiger Direct and ask them why your CD set is three CDs.
Okay.
Because that's something unusual. That may be a special package for Tiger Direct because I've installed XP hundreds, if not more times.
Not 100 times, but certainly about 20 times, taken around.
And it's all on one CD.
Yeah, but the third CD, the other two have that like holographic thing going on. The two Microsoft CDs, the third one says for use with Microsoft 2005, whatever. It does not say Service Pack on it, however. And when I install that, it says it doesn't recognize it. So I guess I'll just try that Service Pack and then call Tiger Direct.
Yeah, you could put that third disc in another computer and actually browse the CD and kind of look at some of the file names and see if it says Service Packs and updates and things like that. And that might give you a clue what is on that third disc.
The other thing is, did you try to just leave the second CD in there and click OK when it asks for the Service Pack?
I sure did, and it stays with the I hit OK and it doesn't proceed. It just stays with that. So.
Well,
I appreciate it, guys. Hopefully I can track it down.
Let us know what you find.
I will.
We'll be listening.
All right. Thank you.
And your calls are coming up next. Actually, Mark Ishman is supposed to call next right here on Sports Radio at 50. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. We have Mark Ishman online.
Good morning.
Are you well balanced on the line?
I am.
All right.
I am. Lots of good things to talk about. Attention all companies with an internet presence. There are countless numbers of those. A federal appeals court has ruled that companies can't change their contracts and post those revisions online without first notifying customers. In this case, the company added several provisions, including an increase in prices, an arbitration clause, and a class action suit waiver about 4 years ago. This pays As a result, it paves way now for this plaintiff to file a class action lawsuit against the company. What does this mean to companies with an internet presence? Think about it. How many times have you might have changed your terms of use, your privacy policy, your return policies? Now you'll need to go back and think about it and notify all these customers if you're going to detrimentally rely on it.
Notify them by mail?
Email, it will be sufficient. Now you bring up a whole other category, retention of this notification. So, you know, this was, how many of us have probably, I know several clients have changed terms and never sent email notifications to clients because this is the first case of its kind. Mm-hmm. But now I'm going to be sending out emails to clients and saying, hey, look, if you've changed your policies, we need to go back and send email notifications if you're going to rely. And this case was very particular because they explicitly put in there no class actions. We're going to arbitration if there is a dispute. Well, now, because they never sent an email notification, despite posting the update on the website, the court said that provision is not enforceable.
What about Mark on the contract in this case? Did the contract say that this contract may be changed unilaterally with no notice before the change?
That specific fact, I do not believe was in that provision. However, what this case tells you, and everyone should be talking about it back in the office on Monday, is, all right, how have we changed our contract, online contract, over the past couple years, and how are we going to do it again in the future? And what are the provisions we've changed without notifying our customers, despite the fact we say last updated July 2007, on the relevant terms. So if you're going to detrimentally rely on these changed of terms, like your return policy, you know, if you're going to have a set way of how the customer must return something in order to get a credit or a refund, you should go back and send an email saying, we've updated our terms of use. Here's your notification. Now you need to retain that so that you can go back and if something happens in the future, say, oh, no, we provided you notice. So two things hit everybody with internet presence as a result of this case. This is out of the Ninth Circuit, and it's the first case of its kind, but it has big, large reach to pretty much every company with internet presence, and people should at least be talking about this case.
You said the Ninth Circuit?
The Ninth Circuit, which is out in California.
Yeah, it's a zoo.
And they're typically dealing with internet technology issues. Most of the time, our first to hear matters. That's just how it's been over the past decade. So very interesting.
Interesting.
If you're not happy, sue and sue again. Perfect 10 has sued Microsoft for copyright infringement. If you recall, Perfect 10 sued Google for copyright infringement. And 3 months ago, a federal appeals court dismissed that suit against Google. In this case, just like the one in Google, Perfect 10 is saying that Microsoft search engine displays thumbnails of pirated versions of the company's copyrighted pictures in search results, and those results include links to full-size pirated versions. Since the case was dismissed 3 months ago, they could potentially get themselves in a little bit of trouble with the court, but that's interesting to follow. But if you're not happy, sue and sue again. Some companies will do that. The old saying, jumping on the bandwagon, 8 more companies have joined the lawsuit charging Google and its YouTube online services with deliberately encouraging copyright infringement. Also this week in that case, YouTube told a judge presiding over the copyright lawsuits that it hopes to have recognition technology in place by September of this year to stop the posting of copyrighted videos on a popular website. Plaintiff lawyers in these suits welcome such improvement. However, they believe YouTube should have been acting and utilizing such technology sooner. Parents and teenagers and heads of HR departments, listen up. An Illinois man was sentenced to 2 years in prison for violating copyright law through the unauthorized sale of video games on his website. He pled guilty in May on one count of criminal copyright infringement for unlawful distributions of hundreds of thousands of copyrighted works on his website. Also, on this same sort of theme, a Washington area teenager faces up to a year in jail and a $2,500 fine after she filmed a 20-second clip of the film Stormtroopers to show her brother. The National Association of Theater Owners say there must be zero tolerance policy for theater recordings. A federal judge sentenced internationally known email spammer Christopher William Smith on Wednesday to 30 years in prison.
Not enough.
For running an illegal internet pharmacy that sold about $24 million in prescription judge. The judge in this case said that the defendant is a drug kingpin, and he met out the sentences requested by federal prosecutors. And the DOJ has charged 18 other companies in an illegal net pharmacy. All these things are telling parents, teenagers, and head of HRs, make sure you understand copyright law. Understand what's illegal and not illegal, because guess what? It'll catch up to you sooner or later.
Yeah, but Mark,
and
how does
the signs are significant and someone's
But how does the average person know what's legal and illegal? The attorneys struggle with it. I mean, look at YouTube. YouTube is the most egregious copyright infringement situation that's ever been, and it's going to shake out one way or the other over time. But how can you know? I mean, one thing we do know: don't download music. RIAA will come to your house.
When coming to music and videos, you need to know. You need to make sure you have purchased a valid copy of such music and video. Rule number one, if you're not, you're in trouble. Number two, if you're going to post anything on websites, you need to make sure you have a legal right to it and make sure what you're doing is not illegal, like selling illegal drugs without a prescription.
Well, did I tell you about the Microsoft Office thing that I had?
No.
I had a customer that wanted Microsoft Office and went look on the internet, and you know, you find them and they're OEM or whatever, and 90 some bucks. Locally they're $299. So I told Brian, I said, no, this must be an illegitimate copy. And I said, well, everything there says that it is. So I called Microsoft and asked. And Microsoft said that if Microsoft Office Professional is anywhere below $250, it's not a legitimate copy.
For the full version.
Yeah, for the full version. So, you know, I mean,
if it's too good to be true, it is.
Yeah, but I mean, if you are just Joe customer who gets on the internet and wants to buy Microsoft Office, and here it is, and it looks correct, and they show you that it's correct, and they give you a reason why it's cheaper, and you buy it. And it has the hologram, and it has everything, and you don't know anything until something may happen. I mean, you know.
I think in that case, you truly will have some defenses to raise, and that's going to be a case-by-case situation.
Yeah.
It is unique, because if you truly are not in the industry and didn't even know to call Microsoft and purchased it, and on its surface and everything you received from that looked like it was a bona fide, legitimate sell.
Right.
There could be something to hang your head at, and pretty much something that you could, as defense, settle with that software manufacturer.
But you would still suffer from a headache.
Yes, you would suffer. At the end of the day, anything that's copyrightable, music,
right,
software, video, you need to make sure you have a legitimate copy. If you don't, you get in trouble. You're seeing grandparents who let their grandchildren use their computers being sued by the music industry because their grandchildren are downloading music illegally at grandma's house.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really scary. Everyone needs to sit down and talk to their children, make sure these fundamental principles of copyright law is just understood, because there's no boundary of minor and adult in these sorts of cases that we're seeing all of the time. week after week.
Yeah, they go after the adults anyway.
Here's some proactive stance. Second Life Virtual On Life community is out there and going, but what they did this week is that the casino of this virtual world, Second Life, closed shop after deciding after a decision by its founders that right now gambling laws are contradicted all over the world, and so they just don't want to pose any risk to them, contributory, adding to others infringing the copyright laws, gambling laws of others. So that's a proactive stance when you're not really sure what the laws are, because each country, there's different sets of rules. It's not worth the risk. Here's a very interesting case.
Quick.
Drunk driving defendant says he needs the breathalyzer source code in order to defend his case. The defense attorney argued that the source code was necessary because otherwise, for all we know, it's a random number generator. So what became central to the dispute was whether the source code was owned by the state of Minnesota or the breathalyzer software manufacturer. This was appealed all the way up to the Minnesota Supreme Court, and all kinds of copyright claims were alleged back and forth. But very interesting, the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled that copyright law, we're not going to even address that, and said we're going to look at the state software license with the breathalyzer manufacturer, which the license requires the breathalyzer software manufacturer to provide attorneys representing individuals charged with crimes in which a test with the breathalyzer as part of the evidence, information necessary to comply with the court order. Mm. So instead of getting into the copyright battle, they say, the state has an agreement with you, and you're required to produce all necessary evidence as a result of the use of your technology in our enforcement of drunken driving. So that, in this case, the software manufacturer had to release the software code over to the defense counsel to make sure that it was, in fact, a valid and working breathalyzer software. So all that is this week's news. If you have any questions about what we talked about, especially that notice requirement to your customers or anything else affecting your enjoyment of your personal computer or technology in the workplace, head on over to ishmanlaw.com. There you'll find all of my contact information. I'd be delighted to talk with you guys.
Thank you, Mark.
It has been my pleasure.
No, same here.
See you, Mark.
Take care. Can you imagine? Ossifer, can I have the source code for that thing?
Anything to win the case.
Oh, boy. And we'll be back right after this. Hey, 50 the Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You are tuned to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next hour now, along with Mike Phillips.
Good morning.
Morning. And our producer, Screener. You want a pat on the back?
He's a visual kind of guy. It's unfortunate that you can't see him through the radio.
Yeah.
Shannon.
Hey, how's it going?
Morning.
You're not from around here, are you?
Not in the least. Well, my North Carolina accent isn't thick.
Your North Carolina accent.
Yeah. Well, let's get on to the weather, shall we?
Yeah, go
on. All right. Well, today's going to be mostly sunny with highs in the lower 90s. And tomorrow it's also going to be sunny, with isolated showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon with the highs in the mid-90s. And this Buzz on Weather Report is brought to you by Grand Villas Indian Beach, oceanfront condominiums from the 600s. Find your horizon at gvcondos.com or call 877-845-4438.
Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Our number is 860-0850, *850, and #850 on your cell phone. Free calls. And this segment of the show is also brought to you by Warp Computers. In the market for a new computer for the home or office? Visit Warp Computers at 2822 Capitol Boulevard. Warp Computers, your number one source for service and computer sales in the Triangle. Call them at 872 1156. And we're talking computers, but we also want your calls. That's what makes us talk about computers. And if you don't call, we're just going to be quiet now. How about that? No, we'll talk. Anyway, what were we talking about last when we were so rudely interrupted? Anyway, don't remember now. But
yes,
did you try? I went ahead and I downloaded the AVG anti-spyware. Did you try it?
Yep.
You have to run it just like Adware.
I know. It's manual, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I that's kind of what I was going to bring up, because it seems like for the last 4 weeks I have used every Saturday to work on computers, mm-hmm. and on none of the previous four Saturdays did I want to spend them working on computers. But yesterday I had an issue. My best friend's father is an elderly gentleman down in Alabama, and he's down there. They were moving into an assisted living home and setting up his internet down there. And problems galore. The guy from the cable company comes in, installs the modem, plugs in the computer, doesn't work. So we're troubleshooting over the telephone, a lot of funny things going on, and we never could get the computer to work. So I had my friend go get his laptop computer, plugged it in, boom, it works fine. So it goes back to the desktop computer, won't connect. So at this point, I'm convinced it's got a bad nick. It's an external card, and so maybe they got it plugged in the wrong way. I don't know. Anyway, his laptop works. The desktop doesn't. So to troubleshoot, I had him go back to his father's house and get the router that his father had it at home. He brings the router in, plugs it in. My thinking is that once I put the router in, I can do two things for troubleshooting. I can, if the computer recognizes the router, I can get to the router configuration page. Then I know that the link between the computer and the router is good. I can then also look at the status page on the router and see if the router is talking to the internet. Put the router in, fire it up, everything works perfectly. On the internet, working now as we speak.
The computer too?
Everything.
Static IP?
No, there's no punchline here. I don't know why to this date. It has something to do with the NIC being incompatible with the modem. There's something, and I've run into this one time before on a computer connecting to a Linksys router.
Wow.
It would not work with a Netgear router, but it would with the Linksys router. And my explanation is a lot of this stuff is being made as cheaply as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is not up to commercial standards. So some things you just accept instead of trying to understand. But the point I was getting to is I maintain his computer using PC Anywhere. Mm-hmm. So once we got that working and his IP address updated and I got the static IP reset so that I could get to his computer, I logged in and I had, this man's 88 years old and he clicks on things he shouldn't click on. So I went in and the AVG free spyware is blacked out or grayed out.
Yep.
It's not working. So I start punching around and poking around and finally get it to update and so forth. And I'm sitting there saying this is no good. This is not going to provide much value, so we're probably going to pay to upgrade it. He's using Windows 2000 on a P3, so he can't use Defender.
SpyBot.
Yeah.
SpyBot has a...
Does it have a real time?
Yeah.
Does it work well?
With Explorer.
Yeah. And he uses
like
it.
Like a module.
Yeah, he uses
on it.
Okay. We may do that because the AVG stuff is good. I mean, I think you and I both got rid of the eTrust stuff about the same time,
yeah.
Which I still have problems with it turning itself off on the machines that it's still installed on.
I had machines that misbehaved big time, as though they're really, I mean, something is completely screwy, and go to safe mode. And because you can't uninstall in safe mode, I would just go to the startup, msconfig startup,
mm-hmm.
and uncomment the CA stuff,
hmm.
and then bring it to normal mode, and everything is perfect.
I haven't had that.
I had quite a few of them in the last few months.
Because that was one of its strengths, is that it was not, this was post-Norton, and we really didn't have those problems with it being a resource hog.
Right. I don't know about the resource hard. I think it's because of something really just screwy in the program. It's like right after an update. And it, And everybody would tell me that, you know, yeah, it updated computer association. I said, uh-huh. And that's the first thing I'll do. I'll go and uncomment it, bring it up in normal, and everything is fine.
How do you take a company that gets into a strong position like that and then throw it in the trash can?
I have no earthly idea. Obviously, there are millions out there that are still working right. I hope so.
But let me suggest that anyone listening who's using it, look in your lower right-hand corner of your screen and see if you see a red X over the easy antivirus program.
It's getting to be just like Norton. It's not updated, and they don't let you know even.
Well, and that red X, if that red X is there, you're in trouble.
Yep.
You are unprotected.
Putting AVG on it is great. And that new one, I haven't used it yet, the one we talked about last week, the VIR from Avira.
Don't know that.
It's a free one. And I was talking with a customer down in the island somewhere, and he said that they had a virus that Norton told him that there was a virus, but he wouldn't do anything about it. So he had a copy of McAfee and he put it on it and it didn't see anything. And then he put AVG and it told him that there was one, but it didn't do anything to it. So somebody recommended that one and it took care of it. So that was the first time that somebody was telling me that AVG it may be something.
Could be a false positive. A lot of times when that happens, it's a false positive.
Yeah.
Or it's a cookie or something that really is not a threat.
But it's interesting to know that there's another free one out there that's working.
Well, there are several. And if you go into the Microsoft news groups, Usenet news groups, the MVPs there will talk about those things. And I think, I'm kind of like you, Amnon. If it's working, don't worry about it. Move on.
Yeah,
but there some of the MVPs there have listed. I think there are actually three of them that are highly recommended. But then you can go to a post following up to that. Oh no, that one's garbage. I've had a problem with that, because what people don't understand is a lot of times you probably never had this happen, but I've worked on computers that once I started working on them, they went downhill fast.
I remember some of these.
Yeah, and really what happens? I mean, immediately it makes you look like you don't know what you're doing.
Uh-huh.
But if you start updating computers that have deep down problems, you can make that problem worse through no fault of your own.
Right.
If you have a perfectly tuned computer that's been kept up to date and you update it, there's a very slim chance that you're going to break anything. But once something has started cracking and you start working on it, you actually make that crack bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I know what you're talking about.
Been there, done that.
Not a good feeling. And your calls are coming up next, right here on Sports Radio 850. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850. Maybe I'm saying it too fast so people don't call because they don't. 860-0850. *850 and #850 on your cell phone. I just can't believe that people are not around. Or it's because we're talking and our discussions are so...
Well, they're busy taking notes.
Exactly. Or maybe we're not on the... Are we on the air?
Hello, test 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, there's a call.
He just want to say that he calls in just in order to make us feel better.
Well, store of pizza.
I don't know what. Okay, let's go talk to Brian. Brian, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, I have a question. I bought a PC maybe about a year ago. It's the HP. It came with Media Center on it, and at the time, I didn't have a TV tuner card,
mm-hmm.
So it really didn't give me much use. But I was able to acquire a TV tuner card. Now it's tremendous because you're able to record and use the channel guide and stuff from the front end. So it's really nice. I'm probably going to buy a notebook here in the next.
So you have about $1,000 TV now, huh?
you can say that. I mean, it is nice. It's like a TiVo now, basically.
Right.
But what I'm going to do is when I do buy my next PC, I don't know if it's going to come with Media Center or not, but if it doesn't come with Media Center...
It will not. It will. Your next computer will come with Vista.
Right, okay. So you're saying Media Center. Oh, okay, so we'll have those type of recording capabilities already built into Vista.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with Vista enough to be able to tell you. And Jim's not here. Do you know which ones in Vista does it? I know that they have different versions of it, and there is more multimedia built into Vista, but I don't know if the basic will do what you want to do.
Okay.
If I were where you are, I would do two things. Number one, I would probably start educating myself on the multimedia capabilities of Vista to find out if it does what you want. You may like it much better. It may actually be more powerful. That's one of the claims to fame of Vista, as I understand it. I don't know much about it.
Okay.
But the reason I would do that now is that if for some reason, I don't know how you are on learning curves, but if you're happy with what you have and you want to replicate it, you probably need to get your hands on another copy of Windows Media Center now and hold on to it till you're ready to buy. If Vista doesn't do what you want, you may be so blown away with Vista that you want to upgrade your Windows Media Center edition. That's one of the areas that may have a lot of value. But I would do that now just in case, because you can still buy XP right now. I'm assuming you could probably still find Media Center Edition somewhere. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. 860-0850, *850, and #850 on your cell phone.
Where's
and
Dan?
Our free calls. Yeah, where's Dan? That's right.
Call Dan. Could you call Dan?
Hey, maybe. We need to check on him to make sure everything is okay. So going back to anti-spyware, Defender works, let's put it this way, Defender seems to be working fine.
Works well.
But if you run Adware or if you run SpySweeper or SpyBot on a computer that had Defender running for a long time, it finds a bunch of stuff. So, and those bunch of stuff could be, like you said, could be just cookies.
Most of them will be.
But it always kind of makes you think, oh, well, is it okay though?
Again, if you go into the news groups with the Microsoft MVPs, mm-hmm. which they are not Microsoft employees, they're just
right.
people like us who have nothing better to do with their time to play with computers, but at least they try to help people along the way. Mm-hmm. And I read a post recently where it says there is no perfect anti-spyware application. You will have to run 3 or 4 to get as close to perfection as you can get. And I would periodically test them, and I don't click on that stuff, and so mine never finds anything but cookies, and you'll get adclick.net cookies
right.
from anywhere. So I don't pay much attention to it. So.
But in general, people say that Defender works.
Actually, you bring up an interesting point, because if you're using Windows 2000, your Defender is not
right,
working.
It's not gonna
you
work.
Need to uninstall it. It is sitting there making you think it's working. It's
yeah.
not working. You need to uninstall it from Windows
right.
2000. It only works on XP or later.
Yeah, and your options are either to get to download Adware and run it manually, or pay for it, and they have the one that sits in the background. But for free ones, the only one that I could say for 2000 is SpyBot. That has something in the background. Of course, my all-time favorite is still SpySweeper.
WebRoot?
Yep.
Yeah.
They do a good job with that one.
Are you running that?
No. Well, I have my old version that if I come across a machine that I'm ready to just give up everything because something is not working right. I'll install it and run it, and in some cases it fixed it. But it's, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. They did have a demo on it because I downloaded
used
it.
Used to, yeah.
I don't know whether I told.
You still have, actually. You can go and download yeah. a 14-day demo.
Yeah, and it is a full-service version.
Oh, yeah.
It actually solved a problem I had. I had a virus, this is two or three years ago. Nothing would get it. And everything saw it, but nothing could do anything with it. And this was the only one that could do something with it. I don't know whether you told me about it or I told you about it.
I bought it for about two or three years in a row, some 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, well, you must have had it.
And that's what I used. And then came the newer ones, and I said, yeah, let's try that. And, you know, people don't like to pay for these. And I will not recommend something I don't use. I mean, I use AVG now.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's why I can say, yeah.
Are you using the free one or the
paid? Yeah, the free one.
Yeah, I've got both. I paid and I have the free one.
What do you get with a paid one?
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
A receipt.
That's it?
I don't know.
I thought you said you have both.
I do. I have some computers that have the free version on it, and I have some that I bought the two-year license. I think it's the best value for purchasing at this point.
So that's what I'm asking. So what do you get with the paid one?
I'm not sure, because my understanding is that it updates more often. There is some benefit. I'm not sure what it is. Part of it is that I've had such good service out of it, I wanted them to have some money out of it.
Okay.
I didn't update everything because I don't see the technical benefit to doing that right now. But, I mean, they can't keep going for free if they give everything away. So I was using
How many times does your free one? Mine does it about, with my help, does it about 4 or 5 times a day.
Well, I don't know. All I know is when I go in once or twice a week or whenever it is and click the update button, it will find an update.
It will, because it only tries once a day.
That's what I'm thinking, and I believe the other paid version is more often than that.
But what I do is whenever I do it morning and evening, just right-click on it, check for updates, and it finds it.
Yeah.
And if I walk out, come back, turn on, start, and I'm about to check my email, first I'll right-click on it, check for updates, and sometimes it'll find, and in the morning and in the evening it finds something like 100k, 80k, whatever. In noontime it may find a 4 or 5 or 6k update.
Yeah.
But you can do it yourself. I mean, it takes literally a second.
Yeah, but if you ever have something hit like the I Love You virus hit, I mean, this thing hit the East Coast about 7-8 o'clock in the morning. By 9:30, the internet was almost shut down.
Yeah.
And a once-a-day update is not going to catch that.
No.
And whether this would have been available to catch it at that time, I don't know. But that's the only virus that I have ever clicked on and ever gotten. And it was stupid for me to do it, but I was on the phone at the time. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't even read it.
Who's perfect?
You?
No.
No?
No.
Shannon?
Shannon? Shannon? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
course.
Perfect.
Yes.
You are perfect.
The rumors are true.
There you go.
Wow. No, but I don't know. I mean, does the paid version go and checks twice a day or 3 times a day or, you know, or every 2 hours?
I thought it was every 2 hours or every 4 hours.
There was a problem with eTrust back then because they were doing it like that. Every 2 hours, and they ran into a problem because they were bombarded with people from all over, I guess because we told everybody to use it. So.
Yeah. Well, and also Time Warner giving it away for free didn't help any either.
Yeah, and they still are.
Yeah.
They still are giving it away
for
free.
For.
And I have a Dell on my counter at home that I'm working for somebody, and it has an icon at the bottom on the assist tray, that's a Roadrunner Medic.
Oh yeah, I don't understand.
And I don't know, I don't know what that is, but that's one that uninstalling a CA antivirus. I left the CA anti spyware.
Thing I ever used was the antivirus. I never installed anything in that suite.
I had to uninstall that one also in order to get. To get to a point where the computer is usable.
Wow.
And but this one had a lot of other problems too.
Have you had any issues with Firefox?
No.
I have it on my main speed demon.
Right, that's D3. All I use. Yeah.
And something funny is going on with it because, and I use it, I have it on every machine. I use IE on almost every machine. But when I move the mouse around, the cursor is jerky. And sometimes the computer slows down a lot, and I close Firefox, and it speeds back up, and I reopen.
Really?
Yeah, and I reopen Firefox, and it's upgraded to the latest version. And this is the only machine I'm having this problem on.
I don't use IE. I don't remember the last time I used
it. No, this is Firefox.
I know. I'm saying. I mean, I use Firefox all the time.
Yeah.
Haven't seen any. So, but I'll go home and use IE and see if it's faster.
On the P3. I'm thinking that it might be getting a little bloated is what I'm thinking. That's why I was asking about it being on a slower machine, because I have it on my faster machines, and I don't have any problem with it. It's still not 100% compatible with all websites.
Bloated.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know the Mozilla guys have been notorious for keeping things small and compact, and
slick and slim.
Yeah,
lean.
Until they update Thunderbird, now all the extensions don't work.
I haven't used it yet. I'm still using Outlook Express. I'm happy with it. It works, and as long as you have a good virus scanner and anti-spyware. Defender.
Yeah, well, I use it for news groups, which are a dying fad anyway.
I haven't been on these.
You haven't been into
years.
Usenet? Well, see, there are a lot of websites now that are actually mirroring the Usenet into the web. And
actually, I'm on. No, I wouldn't call it a news group. It's a listserv.
Yeah. Oh, I love those.
Yeah.
About 10 or 20 of those.
But no, the news groups, I mean, they're back then, they were getting trashed so bad with any of them that I just forget about it.
Well, the local ones here, the triangle.general and triangle.forsale.
And they're good?
No.
Oh.
No, I've taken them off my computer because they've got these political wackos that are in there posting garbage and,
Yeah, you see, that's the thing. It's they're not moderated, they're not policed. Forget it.
No, and Craigslist has kind of whacked the .forsale news group. I mean.
All right, we need to take another break, but we'll come back and take your calls when we come back right here on Sports Radio at 50. The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers, 860-0850, star 850 and pound 850 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. They're still free. Still about 10. Right, Shannon? Oh, he's reading some sports, I guess. That's all right. You just keep reading.
I was prepping.
Prepping.
Yes, it's prepping.
He's a preppy.
Yes, very
probably. That's all right. Are you using the email on Delta Force at all?
I use it. It's kind of limited. I'm debating on what context I want to use it because I don't want it to have to use all of its spam capabilities. I've got about 100 email addresses, and I'm starting to simplify some and replace some email accounts with aliases and things.
Where do you get the most spam from? Can you tell?
No, but I'll tell you what I've started doing. And unless you have your own domain name, you can't really do this. Mm-hmm. But, for example, when I like for the airlines or the companies that I deal with on a regular basis, when I go in and for example, if I set up an account with Delta Force, then my email address is Delta Force with some magic five-digit number after that at my domain name. And I set that up as an alias, and it dumps into my main mailbox. So if I start getting spam, I look to see where it comes from. And
absolutely.
You know what's amazing is when you put the company's name in the email address, for some reason the spam never come. You don't get as much spam.
If you put the company.
If I have Delta Force, if you're going to send me an email that's DeltaForce12345 at my domain name, it's amazing how whenever somebody hacks into your server and gets all of those email addresses, that one doesn't get used. What I'm doing is being a little cynical. I think a lot of bad employees are stealing names out of a company, and they don't want to be able to trace back to them, so they might go through and call out anything that's identifiable from their list. That's a little black helicopter-ish, but I think that happens some of the time, because since I've switched the airlines over to...
You don't have to do that. All you have to do when you have your own domain is, I have different email addresses because I can create them, and when I go somewhere, I just create a new email address and I put it there. It dumps to my...
Correct. It's just an alias, right?
Yeah, it's an alias. Mm-hmm. And I know if I start getting spam, I know where it came from.
Right.
Just in order to trace it.
And the good part about it is that if you start getting spam from a source, you can just kill that email address and quit doing business with that company. Absolutely. because there is no way you're going to do a dictionary attack and come up with the email address that I'm using for that particular company.
That's a
five-digit number
that
has no rhyme or reason to it.
Good point.
It would absolutely have to be compromised by that company for me to get it. And if American Airlines starts sending me spam or I start getting it because of it, then something has hacked, because there's no way I would ever – I don't even know what those email addresses are. I intentionally forget them. There's no way I could post anywhere or use them publicly. It cuts it back. If people want to control spam, they're going to have to be active and aggressive. Your server has got some excellent spam protection on it. But
and you know what? It is so easy to stop all the spam, everything, every bit of it. If the powers that be will decide that, we are going to have to change the way we're doing email. We started at one point to block mail from unknown servers. When a server connects to your server and sends email, it's, if you're getting a email from Delta Force, it'll say that it's mail.deltaforce.net and gives you the IP address. Many of them have a name, and it doesn't go with the IP. They don't match.
Right.
You know that this is. Some of them say unknown.
Right.
And you say, if it's an unknown, that means it's really not a mail server. Oh, great. Well, for about a week, I was on the phone almost once an hour, straightening people out. Because as it turned out, who was it? Lowe's. I remember Lowe's, I remember Toys R Us, I remember Whole Foods. Their services, unknown. And when I called and finally got to their IT department, it's not configured right. So, if you screw up and you don't configure your email server correct, people are not going to get email from you.
Happens all the time.
No, it doesn't happen. We couldn't afford to do that. Come on.
No, I'm talking about companies who don't properly configure their mail servers.
But because it's working, then nobody cares about it. But if you couldn't send email out and everybody said, that's it, we are not accepting mail from, then they will straighten it out. And at that point, I'm sure the spammers will find some ways around it, but right now that's their best. That works fully to their benefit that they can do this.
How are you dealing with this latest spam technique that has the PDF attachments?
I can't. We dealt with it for about a few weeks. The truth is it's slowing down. In the beginning, it was easy to deal with it because they put something PDF in the subject line. For some reason.
Now they're
so
blank.
We killed all, anything that had, who's going to put the file name in a subject line? That's got to be a dummy. So that was easy.
Well, who's going to send an email without a subject line?
That's true. That was the other way. But now that there are some things that we can do. I mean, we looked at the header, and it's a little bit different than a legitimate because it's PDF inline instead of PDF attachment. And we're trying to figure out a way to write a rule that will actually stop it because for some reason a Mac sends it out the same way. It's a PDF inline, not PDF attachment when it comes from a Mac. So there's got to be some other things to find it, but it's you can't just kill PDFs, you know, arbitrarily.
Have you opened one of the PDFs to see what's in it?
Yeah.
What's in it?
It's just like the old JPEGs. It's just an ad. That's all it is. They found a way how to get around it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to open them. I mean,
there's nothing to them. I mean, it displays an ad.
Yeah, but you can put you can put macros in PDFs. I mean, it's not hard to imagine someone putting a pretty serious thing inside a PDF file.
But this is why if you have a good fire scanner and a good anti-spyware, I'm not worried about opening stuff. I never worry about opening stuff.
Nor am I, but I also don't open things unnecessarily.
Well, yeah, unnecessarily. But you see, the thing is, I don't get those unnecessarily ones. Those unnecessary emails are in my spam quarantine, and I go and I open them there, and it really doesn't open them. It just shows me the source.
But now your server,
I don't get it into my Outlook.
Your server is authenticating the sender though of those PDF files, and is it passing authentication?
Well, you see, in most cases they're passing, but they're passing even though it says that they're unknown. If I kill everything unknown, I'll kill a lot of legitimate ones.
No, and I understand. Tired,
and that's why. But yeah, it's authenticated.
But a lot of times these are sent from bogus servers. They
no,
just
then
don't
I don't
exist.
Get them. No, then okay. I don't get them.
All right,
no.
So you're catching those. Oh, so you're getting less than all of them.
Oh, a bunch of them, yeah. But I still get them because that's one way that they can get through. They figured out a way to do it.
Well, they're not selling me anything.
No, they're not selling me anything either.
And I'm not buying their stock pick either.
Now, these, we found out the way how to stop most of them.
Yeah.
Those ones that people are just sending. Well, yeah. Anyway. And we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Computers 2K7 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. This segment of the show was brought to you by Warp Computers. In the market for a new computer for the home or office? Visit Warp Computers at 2822 Capitol Boulevard. Warp Computers, your number one source for service and computer sales in the Triangle. You can call them at 872-1156. Warp Computers. Yes, so we were talking about spam. So there are companies that really don't care. I mean, they will pass you everything because I want to say I understand why they're doing it. I don't understand, but at the same time, you know, I sympathize because it takes hours every day. I mean, here I am with the small eyes to tweak and to update and to make sure that it's working right and add more here, you know. But they have staff of hundreds.
Well, it depends.
They have one person.
Yeah, but there are a lot of ISPs out there that are operated out of apartments.
And they can do that too.
And they're doing actually very well with them considering. I mean, they do a good job. I mean, one of my buddies operates out of his apartment up in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is that, and these are small business people, and they're trying to make a living. So negative press for these guys does not work well for them. So what they will do is they will try to eliminate spam. All of a sudden, one of their techies loses an important email, probably because of a misconfigured server on the sender's part. And so they start blasting the ISP. Oh, you guys are censoring my mail. You don't know what you're doing. And they really have done nothing wrong. And the two that I'm familiar with, they actually did put spam filters on the email, but that is the only thing that they will filter. And one guy said, I don't want you filtering it. I've got spam software. I mean, I've got antivirus software on my end. And if I said spam, I meant antivirus. On my end, I'll take care of it. And the guy said, I'm not going to have viruses on my server. Mm-hmm. If you have to have it, you're going to have to go elsewhere.
Go somewhere else. Absolutely. Yeah. And I tell it to people.
But they let all the spam through because they said, we cannot. I mean, Barracuda, the North Carolina General Assembly installed the Barracuda firewall. And you wouldn't believe what problems they've had. And the Barracuda is an extraordinarily good firewall based on what I've heard. But it's a nonstop problem.
Yeah, and I know the way that email is being shipped back and forth needs to change.
Well, I still like the challenge response system, but I've never seen anything that is so universally hated by people on the sending end. There's a law firm here in town. You send them a message, and they have their own built-in challenge response system. If you're not willing to fill out a form, tell them who you are and why you're sending them email, they won't receive your email.
Yeah, I know. See, that's not friendly. Businesses don't like that.
But what are you going to do?
The way you do email.
But that's system-wide.
That's a system-wide.
That's a system thing, you and I are not going to be able to change that today.
No. No.
Tomorrow, maybe.
I wrote InfoWorld and people like that and told them, hey, you need to start talking about this.
It's maybe time. It's past time because I've lost important emails. And I mean, I'm at the point now where when people send me an email, well, I sent you this. Look, don't ever depend on email.
Right.
It's a convenience. It's not a reliable system.
Absolutely. All right. End of the show. It was pretty good.
Well,
anybody you want to say good morning to?
I'll say good morning to my wife, Susan, daughter, Katie, son, Cole, daughter, Melissa, dog, Annie.
They're all listening.
Probably not.
But yeah,
Susan probably is. She might have gotten Katie up. I'm not sure.
And good morning, Kathy, Hannah, Mac, Norm. Oh, come on, Shannon. You weren't here last week.
Can we say that from the top, please?
Norm! Ken, Donna, and Ron. That's it for today. Thank you for tuning in to Sports Radio 850 The Buzz and to Computers 2K7.